everyone, and welcome to the latest Eagle Eye podcast with Ruben Frank. I'm Dave Zangaro. Ruben, let's just get it out of the way. We're not talking about that Sixers game. We're not going to do it. I don't want to. I don't want to. Fair?
That's fine with me.
Okay.
But how about the third quarter?
No. If you guys want that, go to Sixers Talk. I'm sure that was a fun one last night. I don't have it in me to talk about that. It's really the off season in the NFL. There's not much going on. So we thought this could be a mailbag, a chance for you guys to ask some questions. Rube asked for questions in the worst way possible because he made it seem like I wanted to answer questions about Broadway musicals. So about half of these questions are about Broadway musicals. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and let you take those.
So like any other questions.
Yeah, that's fair.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right. Want to just hop in?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. The first question is from Riff Ballin. What's going to be, I love reading these Twitter handles. What's going to be the over under on run attempts per game this season?
Yeah, good question. I think that number is going to go up dramatically. And, it depends if you count Jalen Hurts runs or not, but I think just with running back runs, you're going to see plus 5 or 6 from last year per game, I would think. And Doug would always start out, it's funny, like the first quarter, the first drive, we're going to run the ball. Miles would get 3-4 carries that first drive. And then by the second half, he was, no matter what the score was, it's not like they had to be down 30 to abandon the run. He would abandon the run when they were up, when they were down, when they were tied. And it got to be almost comical last year how he just gave up. I mean, there was a stretch where they ran the ball like, 18 times in the second half of Jalen's three games he started and finished. So 18 total running plays by the back. So I think you'll see that number go up 5 or 6 carries per game.
Yeah, and you're right. If we're including Hurts carries, then I kind of expect the Eagles to be in that top 10, top 5 in the league. You look at, so I did some quick research and looked at the teams last year. Baltimore, no surprise, first. I mean, Lamar Jackson takes a lot of carries himself, 34.7 per game. Now that's kind of an outlier. There were 5 teams over 30 per game. Indianapolis was 10th in the league at 28.7. So, I mean, Indy was 10th at 28.7. They didn't have a running quarterback. That offense with a running quarterback, yeah, I kind of expect them to be in the top 10.
Yeah, I think that's about where they'll be. I think about, and what were the Eagles last year? About 24?
Yeah, they're pretty deep. Yeah, but you also have to take into account that sometimes rushing attempt numbers get kind of wonky because if a team's down all the time, they have to throw to get back into it. And if a team's up, they're going to run to bleed the clock. So typically, there are better teams. It's not always true, but there are better teams in the top 10 than not.
Yeah. Yeah. And like people have that, people love that stat where the Eagles are like 38-0 when they run 30 times or more, but I mean, you're going to run the ball with a lead. You're going to try to run
a faulty causation there.
Exactly. Sure. Whatever you just said. But I do think, I think somewhere around where the Colts were last year makes sense. I think it's pretty clear just from talking to Nick mainly, how important the running attack's going to be for him. And I think the roster moves kind of show it, just drafting Gainwell, signing Kerryon Johnson, because it would have been easy to just be content with, well, we have Miles, we have Boston, we have, you know, we're going to bring back Jordan Howard. That's our running backs. We have some young guys. But they made a concerted effort to upgrade that room. And I don't think you do that if you're not thinking we want to run the ball more. And those guys are all good receivers. So I think that'll be a part of it as well. But I just think balance is good, especially with a young quarterback. Balances. And I'm not one of those guys that says you got to run the ball 35 times a game. It's a passing league. They're going to throw the ball a lot, but you got to do it enough to keep defenses off balance. You got to do it enough to give your offensive line, your quarterback, and your backs a chance. And I think they will.
I think back to, we were talking to the assistant coaches a week or so ago, and it got brought up that Brian Johnson, you know, we were trying to figure out, like, how does he fit in? Because these other three guys have all worked together before. Where does Brian Johnson fit in? And the one thing we heard was that, well, he comes from the college game where you have more of the read option, RPO stuff. They're going to include that. I think they're going to try to utilize Jalen Hurst's legs, especially to kind of get ahead of the sticks at times. So, yeah, I think altogether, when you look at their carries, I think he's going to be a big part of it. I mean, I think he's probably going to rush for 700 yards. Like, I think that's going to be a big part of their offense.
Yeah, I think in 17 games, it might be 730 yards, 740 yards. But, yeah, honestly, would you be shocked if he runs for 1,000? I wouldn't.
1,000's a lot, but yeah, I mean, it's really going to be up to the Eagles, I think, because, you know, the Ravens are all in on utilizing Lamar Jackson like that. I wonder if the Eagles would be. I think that Hurts is that type of player that you can utilize him as a runner like that. Are they going to be willing to do it? There's some risk involved in that, and I don't know.
I think one thing Jalen showed last year, he was pretty smart as a young player about not putting himself at risk on those runs.
It's true.
I thought he did a good job of you know, either sliding or getting out of bounds, protecting himself. Something like, I mean, Michael Vick didn't. He was just like, I'm just going to
take the last guy didn't either.
No, that's true. Yeah. The last guy.
I didn't want to ruin it this early.
Not this early. It's a good move. Yeah, so I think he – and that's a big part of it, because – If the quarterback's, if you have a running quarterback and he's smart about it, then it becomes a real weapon where you're not worried about the guy taking too many hits.
All right. Next question from White Noise Sports. This is, I guess, just to you. It says, Rube, who are your top five Sixers of all time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that list changed yesterday.
You're putting Tobias in there now?
We're not going to talk about the game. Well, my top five Sixers of all time, I would obviously Allen and Charles and Joel are the three. You know, and there, yeah,
is Joel there now?
Yeah, he's there. He's doing as much as he can.
Is he there yet?
Yeah, he is for me. He is. The other two, I mean, I guess it would be ridiculous to put Landry Shamet on there, but I don't know. Those three are kind of in a class of their own. And then it goes, you know, there's probably a big drop down to, the next couple, but so I'll keep those three.
Dr. J?
What's that?
Dr. J?
Those three are in a class of their own. I mean, obviously Dr. J, and Dr. J was a little bit before my time as far as, I mean, I wasn't living in Philly. So yeah, I wouldn't put him, for me, I wouldn't put him in. Obviously he was an incredible talent. But I wouldn't put him for me in that category just because I didn't really match up with his career.
It's just like your list. This is your list.
Yeah, this is my list. Okay. This is my five, my favorites.
Your not favorites.
Like
okay.
Greatest, like if it's the greatest players in Sixers history, then you put, you know, Wilt on there and Dolph Shays. And,
yeah. I mean, it says, who are your top five Sixers of all time? I guess.
It's how you read it. So yeah, just, I thought it was like kind of my favorites, but if it's top five, then, you know, you're putting Wilt and Dolph Shays and Allen and Barkley and
Moses.
Could be Moses. I guess Landry Shamet probably not there, not there. But yeah, I'd put Joel in the top 10 probably all time. Not in the top.
That's fair.
Not in the top five yet.
Okay. This is from Darius Slay's burner, and this is a leading question. Funniest Eagles on the current team, because one of them is clearly Darius Slay,
and he's one of the funniest players I've ever been around.
He's goofy. He's goofy more than funny.
He's pretty funny,
but he's goofy.
Yeah, he's both, and
his funny is goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's not reading like one-liners, you know, like he's not sitting there like, you know, hey, Dave, why, you know, two rabbis go into a church. Yeah. I mean, it's not that kind of thing. Michael Vick was hilarious. I mean, he was funny on the practice field. I mean, he was just watching him. You would just crack up just because of the stuff he yelled out.
This says current team, though.
Oh, it says current team. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Anybody else stick out for you?
Kelsey. Kelsey's funny. It's dry, but Kelsey's really funny.
Yeah, he is. He is. It's hard because, you know, we weren't really around the players this past year.
Last year, yeah.
So you kind of have to go back.
Lane's funny.
Lane is funny. Yeah. It's usually intentional. No, Lane's pretty funny. Just because he'll say anything, whatever floats through his transom, he'll say. He's got no filters. But yeah, nobody else really jumps out at me.
Yeah, those are kind
of. I mean, BG's funny just because.
Oh, BG's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he is funny. Just, I mean, I just laugh just talking to him. Just he doesn't even have to be funny, and he makes you laugh.
Him laughing is funny.
Yeah,
because he's got the barrel laugh. Like his whole body shakes when he laughs, and that's
when he laughs like he means it.
Yeah, yeah, it's. He's one of the few people where if he starts laughing, like everyone's going to start laughing.
Yeah.
We've had some funny ones come through here. Evan Mathis was really funny when he was here.
Yeah. Evan Mathis I remember him coming off the practice field once at training camp, and he had beaten me like 9 straight games of Russell the night before.
I forgot about Russell. That was a good game.
Yeah. And, yeah, I still play it now and then, just, you know, like sitting waiting for a plane to take off or something. Yeah. And
that was the word game, right? Like you had to create words and like,
yeah. Okay. So Evan Mathis was really good at it. And he used to just, I was pretty good, but he would kill me. He was like really good at that word, at that game and all word games. And he walked off the practice field once and I'm just standing there, like all the writers are there waiting to interview guys. And he just goes, "Rube, you suck at Russell." Just walks into the locker room. That was pretty funny. But then I started to beat him, and he actually stopped playing. He started ducking me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He once called me on the field during a practice, and it was Andy was the coach, and I'm thinking I'm gonna get kicked out of this practice because I'm on the field now. Like they're in practice because I used to do like I still do with my stupid observation of the day. I tweeted something out like I'll be looking out for one today, and he tweeted back, "I'll get you one." And then I'm all on the sideline, and he waves me on the field. I'm like, "I gotta go," you know. He's players waving me on the field, but in my back of my head, I'm like, "I'm gonna get kicked out of practice forever because Evan Mathis wants to tell me a stupid thing." Yeah, he was funny though. All right, next one. This is from Annette Boyer. What Broadway musical name would best describe the Eagles last season? What Broadway musical name would best describe your expectations for this season? Thanks. Oh, I can play this because it's not a, like, are we making up the name?
No, I think she's asking about a real show.
Oh, then you take it. I'm going to get a drink.
when we were in London with the Eagles in 91, a bunch of the writers went to see a show called Five Guys Named Mo. It's like an R&B music, and it was great. I'm thinking the O-line was Five Guys Named Mo last year, kind of.
Oh, that's good.
That's the best I got on that. I don't know. This year's, who knows? I got Five Guys Named Mo.
Okay. Oh, gosh, here's another one. This one is from Vaxxed for Football Season.
You don't have to read all the music ones, Dave.
I want to, because this is your problem now. You got to deal with it. If Nick Sirianni was a Broadway musical, which one would he be? Is there like a, what's the high energy musical?
Yeah.
Is he Fiddler on the Roof?
Fiddler on the Roof?
I don't know. It sounds like it's, I don't know what it's about.
You don't know what Fiddler, you've never seen Fiddler on the Roof?
I think I went to see it in like a middle school. Actually, I swear, I think we went to see it in a middle school field trip, and someone set off a stink bomb and we got kicked out, the whole class.
Yeah. So that high quality Marlton education. Yeah. At work. Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know.
Created this. You did this. This is your fault.
There was a Tony Award winning show in the 50s called The Most Happy Fella. So I'll go with that.
That's good. Okay. I like that. Do you truly believe Mailata will get a fair shot? This is from Vito. Do you truly believe Mailata will get a fair shot at left tackle? I'm not doing the musical one on that. We'll do that later. But do you think he'll get a fair shot at left tackle?
That's a good question. Because obviously you have a first round pick there, and some coaches might want the first round pick to win that job.
It's not like there's ever been any evidence of meddling from the front office here.
yeah, it's a very fair question considering, but also I think Howie could also stick out his chest and say, I this seventh round pick I drafted is a starting left tackle in the NFL. But organizationally, they probably want Dillard to be the guy. But I think that as long as Stout's involved, I'm pretty confident the best guy is going to be the starter.
Yeah. And I really think he's going to make that decision. He said it's going to be Sirianni's decision, but
come on.
Yeah. Stout's making that call. Yeah. And I think Stout's someone who's going to make it on what he sees. And look, if it's a tie, maybe it goes to Dillard for a few reasons, because he was a first round pick and because Mailata is probably better as a swing tackle option. But if Mailata beats him out, he's the left tackle.
Yeah. And I'll go back to what I said maybe a couple of weeks ago, that I think we'll know at the end of training camp. I think we'll kind of all know who it's going to be.
Yeah. My question after that is, how long is the leash? You know, if Mailata wins it and he has a couple bad games, do they pull the trigger on that? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think the leash won't be super long, just because if you feel like you have another good option there, you're going to go that way.
And they've done that before. I remember, after a Super Bowl year, they benched Wiz after like two games and they put Sam Alu back in.
I think that's probably always the plan, because Wiz wasn't bad. I mean, it's not like he was playing bad.
No, but I mean, they'll do it. If they think they have a better option, they'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one is from, the next part was, if you have an answer, what musical should they make into a movie next? Do you have one?
No, because I'm not a movie guy. So I don't know which ones have been made into movies. I don't pay attention.
So I have like the movie half of it and you have the musical half of it, but we can't. There's no way to share our minds together and come up with that answer. All right. This is from Johnny. Can the Eagles get impact from the last two drafts, which have been pretty dire in terms of production so far? Fair question. When he means the last two drafts, you think he's talking about
19 and 20.
Okay. So in 19, they drafted Dillard, Sanders, Jay-Jaw, Sharif Miller, Clayton Thorson. Well, they're not getting anything out of two of those guys. They're already gone. In 2020, it was Rager, Hurts, Davion Taylor, Kayvon Wallace, Jack Driscoll, John Hightower, Sean Bradley, Quez Watkins, Prince Tega Winogo, and Casey Tuhill. Two of those guys are gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the 2019 draft, they only drafted five guys. They didn't have a three. So you kind of, it's going to come down to, I think it's going to come down to Dillard when you really get down to evaluating that draft. I mean, I think Miles would be a good player. If he's not a great player, he'll be a good player. Have you given up totally on Jay-Jaw? I kind of have.
I haven't totally. I'm close. I haven't totally because it's a new staff, new scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, if he has another, I mean, he's I think he's going to have to be really, really good in the summer.
And I won't believe it then either.
Yeah, but to make the team, I think to make the team.
To make the team.
He's not going to give anything on special teams. Probably it might come down to him or Hightower. I'm not the biggest Hightower fan. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. I feel like Jay Draw should be good. I feel like he's got the elements there. He just has never put it together. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes somewhere else and is okay. Maybe, you know, I don't think he'll ever be great, but if he goes somewhere else and catches, you know, 25, 30 passes or something, that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. The fact that they've been putting him in the slot in the spring, and they'll probably do it in the summer, kind of tells you, they're like, let's see if we can get something out of him. Because I get that he has good body control, and that's maybe what they're trying to utilize in the slot, but that's not why they drafted him. They drafted him to go catch 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. As far as last year's draft, to me, obviously the quarterback is going to be a big key, and I think it's too early to write off any of these guys. I think a real key to that draft is going to be Davion Taylor. Yeah, you want to hit on those threes. But the jury's out on so many of those guys, it's hard to really draw any conclusions yet. I never want to evaluate a draft or a player until at least 2 years, and sometimes more than that. You know, a guy like Quez could come out and have a big role this year. I think Driscoll showed that he can play. Whether he'll ever be a full-time starter, I don't know, but I think he can play. But it's going to be Rager and Hurts who really determine what kind of draft last year's was. And I think Rager's a real key to it, because that could go in so many ways. You know, he could just end up not being a factor, or, you know, he'd come out and catch 65 balls this year. I just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, those top three picks, all head scratchers in a way. You know, it looks like the front office they look worse after that draft, right? I mean, you have Rager, who might have been a first-round talent, but a fringe first-round talent. There were better players available. I think that's fair to say. Second round, they drafted a quarterback no one expected. And maybe that works out. Maybe he becomes great, but another head-scratcher. And then Taylor, I mean, we all know that he's really athletic, but he doesn't know how to play football. I mean,
that's a little strong.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, he's so raw that they got almost nothing out of him his rookie year. And when you draft a player, you have him for 4 years. And I kind of wonder this about an organization, is like, what's your philosophy on this? Because you have the goal is to re-sign them, and you have a player for their career, you have a good player. That's the goal. But if not, you have this player for 4 years. If you're basically saying at the jump, he's a third round pick, we're not going to get anything out of him the first 2 years, I don't know if that's maximizing value.
Not in the third round, it's not.
Yeah, and like seventh round, you do that with Jordan Mailata, fine. If he doesn't play at all, you tried something, it ended up working. But like, throw away a seventh round pick, not throw away, but gamble on that seventh round pick. But a third round pick on a position where you could use a player last year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's fair. But I wouldn't write off last year's draft and the 19 draft. I mean, it's possible, although end up getting out of it is Miles. And you know, we'll see how good he ends up being. But Dillard could end up being a really good left tackle in this league. So if he does, you had five picks and you get Dillard and Sanders. I think Dillard will really end up defining what kind of draft that was.
Yeah. And I mean, the J-Jaw pick doesn't look good, obviously.
No.
Yeah. All right.
Although I liked it at the time. I liked it at the time. So,
yeah. This is from D Nuns. If everything goes as expected and the Eagles are a struggling team, who are some players you think could be traded for further picks during the season?
Wow. I mean, there's not a lot.
I came up with a list of names that I think might make some sense.
Because they don't have a lot of players in that mid-range, you know, who are young enough to trade and get anything for, but,
you know. Well, I think you could trade an older player. Like, I think Ryan Kerrigan could be tradable to a, like, if they're not in contention and there's a contender and he's still playing well, might be able to trade him.
Maybe.
And these would be unpopular, but Dillard, I mean, if Mailata's your starting left tackle and you feel like Jack Driscoll's better and you're in a good spot,
you can maybe Dillard's trade him. The obvious one. And I mean, there's a chance they could trade him. If Mailata wins the job, they could trade Dillard before the season.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be out of the, you know, yeah.
Barnett. Just because if they don't think they're going to be able to re-sign him, get something for him. I mean, the flip side of that is you'd get a comp pick back if he signs for a high price. So it'd have to be better than whatever comp pick you would get.
Yeah. I guess that's possible.
But the Eagles are also going to – they're going to have money next year, so they're probably going to cancel out a lot of comp picks. So I don't think they should even be in the comp pick game. If you can get something for these players instead of waiting for a comp pick, you do it.
Yeah. You also aren't going to – nobody's going to trade for a guy like Barnett unless they feel like they can sign him also.
Unless it's a contender and they need a pass rusher.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to give up? And would the Eagles take that? Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
And then the last two I had on the list were Fletcher and Slay. I think things would have to go pretty bad to do that.
I just don't see them trading Fletcher. I think he's a guy that I just think that's a move you don't want to make. I don't think you want to send that message out that we're gonna get rid of an all-time great, possible Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I get it.
That would surprise me.
Yeah. Anyone else that I didn't put down that you think might make sense?
No.
Okay.
I just don't see. I guess out of that whole group, I mean, I guess Kerrigan makes the most sense to me. I mean, he would have to show that he's still pretty good. Man, I don't know if a guy that age who's kind of – it would kind of be a – I mean, I would think it's kind of a crappy thing to do to him, but I guess if he has a chance to play for a better team.
They might ask him first.
They might. Yeah. Not sure how he'd feel about that, but – it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I mean, if this team is in the toilet, he might want out. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be a scenario. Okay, this is from CMarks8. Here's one for Dave. Do you consider Springsteen on Broadway to be a musical? I mean, it is musical and it is on Broadway. Is this just Bruce Springsteen has like a residency on Broadway? Is that what this is?
No, no, don't act like you don't know. But I mean,
I don't. Is that what it is? He's just playing up there?
Yeah, well, he did. Yeah, he played a ton of shows.
No, that's not musical.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. this is from Kevin Rogers. Which would surprise you more? Hurts plays better than expected, top 8-12 quarterback, and is clearly the guy going forward, or he plays very poorly, gets benched, and is clearly not the future at quarterback.
Oh, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback? Is that what it is?
I didn't know about the Springsteen thing.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
How could you? All right.
Not a big Springsteen guy.
I'm not either, but I mean, I was aware of it. It was pretty big news.
I live in a weird bubble.
Yeah, apparently. Dave's in quarantine, like 10 years from now, long after COVID's gone. Dave will still be
quarantined. We're good to come out now.
Opening up the bunker, you know, oh, the war's over. I think it's more likely, good question. I think it's more likely he'll be a top 12 quarterback than be so bad that he gets benched early. Yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's going to be hard to be top 12, but I mean, I think we both kind of feel like he's going to be in the middle somewhere, which makes it a good question. I don't think he's going to get benched. I don't think he's going to be awful. Whether we're thinking at the end of the season, this is the guy for the next 10 years, I don't know. But I think he'll play well.
The Eagles are rooting for one of these two scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, the last thing they want is for, you know, for him to be okay.
Yeah. And you and Peter King have both told me that you think they'll know for sure. And I'm not convinced of that. I'm not. I think there's a real chance he ends up in the middle and they have to make a really tough decision. This would be great. Either one of these would be great, honestly. You'd prefer if you're the Eagles, you prefer the top 8 to 12 quarterback. And then you could use all those picks on building around him. But if he's not that, you'd probably want him to be awful. And that way you know which direction your franchise is going.
Yeah, that's what makes it. I mean, that's the question of the year to me is, who is he as a quarterback? What is he? My gut feeling is we'll know. But you're right. It could be that middling area where they just don't know. That's the worst case scenario.
That's another question from Vito. Ward on the outside looking in.
Wait, the same guy asked two questions?
Yeah, he's getting them all in.
No, we can't devalue the question process by taking two from one guy, can we?
Yeah.
No, I don't think Ward's on the outside looking in. I think he's the most experienced, most productive, most kind of reliable receiver that they have right now. He's a guy you can count on to. He's obviously, it was funny when we were talking to Aaron Moorhead. He's like, well, everybody's going to be inside and outside, you know, every guy, every receiver we're going to have, except Greg Ward. Obviously he won't play outside, but he is what he is. I don't think he's a guy that is irreplaceable, but this is a really young and inexperienced wide receiving group. I mean, I think Travis Fulgham has the second most career catches of this group, and they were all in a 5-week period. So Greg Ward is the one guy that, you know, he knows the plays. He's going to go out there and catch the ball. He's got great hands. He's going to move the chains. I mean, his first down numbers were really good last year. Obviously, his yards per catch were either last or second to last in the league for a wide receiver. There's value in Greg Ward, and I think the younger receivers, and he's 25 or 26, they look up to him. And I think if you had a guy that you were like, this guy's our slot, this guy, but they don't really have like an heir apparent to him. They got some guys who have ability mainly outside, but I don't think they have a slam dunk slot behind them.
I'd play Rager there.
Yeah, but if you do, it's not like he's a slam dunk to replace Greg Ward. We don't know.
You're right. Yeah.
So I think Greg Ward I can't imagine a scenario where he's not on the roster.
He'll be on the roster and he'll have a role of some sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Sarah Baker, our friend Sarah Baker. Hey, Dave, first time, long time. Should I get tickets to Hadestown? Is that right? Hadestown or Moulin Rouge when Broadway reopens? I've never heard of Hadestown, so I'll go Moulin Rouge.
Because you've heard of it?
Because I've heard of it, yeah.
There you go.
All right. I'm going to skip a few musical questions. This is from JV Arg. That's what it says. What are the criteria for calling players by their first name versus last name? Position, unique name?
I spent a lot of time thinking about this one. Most of the fourth quarter of the Sixers game, I'd moved on to this question. And it's true. There's some guys we just call. I mean, Slay asks people to call him Slay.
Yeah, he doesn't like Darius.
He doesn't like, either. He doesn't like it. He just likes Slay.
Yeah. My name. He'll correct us if we try to call him Darius.
Yeah, he'll just like, what'd you call me?
Slay.
It's Slay. But
I think I call them like, I think when I talk to a player, I call them by their first name. When I talk about them, sometimes I'll talk about last name.
I think there's some guys I call by their last name to them. And I'll say Kelsey, like, hey, Kelsey. Like, if I go up to Kelsey's locker, you know
what? I'll call him Kels.
Kels.
Yeah.
I call him Kelsey.
That's true.
I don't know. There's some guys, I don't know what it is. I don't know what determines. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to go up to Lane Johnson and say, hey, Johnson, but Kelsey, there's just something about, I don't know what it is. That's a very thoughtful question because I don't know what determines, you know, how you refer to a guy.
Yeah, and then there's the next level of that is when we're just talking about the team. There are some players we call by first names there, which is like, that's normally a place where you would, you know, if we're talking about the team, we'll talk about, you know, how like the last names of the players, but there's some players who have like a unique first name. So like Alshon, we never called Jeffrey.
Well, they think we were talking about the owner.
But it was like always Alshon or...
We can't call anyone Jalen because there's like so many Jalens.
Yeah, you can't call anyone Jalen.
So, I mean, it seems like we call Rager and Hurts. Jalen Mills isn't here anymore, but we call Jalen Mills Jalen more than the other guys, maybe because he was here first.
That's true.
And
I
also yeah, think...
interesting. I call BGBG. I don't call him Brandon or Graham.
Yeah, I've that's never
a, that's
called
a, that's a rare one. The initials?
Yeah. It could be worse. It could be like hockey where, you know, Lanezy had a nice game at right tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get the Lanezer going.
It's true.
Hurtsy really made, he really made it happen in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Hurtsy. It was a great effort by Hurtsy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, we're rolling through these here. Andrew E. Greenberg, is Jalen Hurts accurate enough to be a winning NFL quarterback?
I think he will be. And I think that a lot of things offset that 52% number. That number is going to come way up. And you look at every young quarterback, almost every young quarterback. And I think every young running quarterback starts out that way. And I think a lot of things are going to pick up that number this year. Having better receivers will improve it. I mean, he went downfield so much, and those are lower percentage throws. He had the highest yards per completion in the league of any quarterback. And the second highest ever by a rookie, with 13.2 yards per completion. So as that number comes down, as the offense is, I think, run more efficiently and installed more efficiently, and the plays are called more efficiently, I think as that number comes down, you'll see the completion percentage go up.
Yeah, and a lot of this offense is going to be short throws.
Yeah,
get the ball into the playmaker's hands. That'll help. But overall, I think it is a concern. Like because it's a concern that was attached to him coming out of college was about his arm and whether or not he could be an accurate passer at the next level. So until he shows it, I think it's going to be there. I thought it was interesting. I pulled up a quote from Brian Johnson about accuracy, and he said, the biggest thing in terms of accuracy is developing your feet and your eyes and making sure that everything's in concert with your target. So that shows me, and that was a question about Jalen Hurts. That shows me he realizes there's an issue and they're working to correct it, which is at least a positive sign, I think.
Yeah. I'm confident that number will be up. I mean, he doesn't have to complete 65% of his passes, but you'd like it to be at least 60. You know, you like to be at least 60 to really function at a high level in the NFL.
Yeah. Okay.
And the NFL average last year was higher than it's ever been. It was like 64. The NFL, it used to be like if you completed 64%, you were among the league leaders. Now it's like, I think the average is like 63.8 or something.
Drew Brees was at like 85%, whatever it was.
Crazy. Some of those numbers are nuts. Yeah.
They are. All right. Next question. Who will rush for more yards in 2021, Hurts or the former Eagles quarterback? Who will have more interceptions?
Former Eagles quarterback. Who could he be talking about? Sudfeld?
I like that our listeners are not even saying his name anymore.
I mean, obviously, I think Hurts. Who's going to throw more interceptions is an interesting question, though.
Yeah, I mean, Hurts is going to rush for more yards.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, especially if the other guy only plays like 3 or 4 games before he gets benched.
Well, that'd be bad for the Eagles.
Yeah, it would be. Well, it would be bad in a way. It would make the trade look smarter.
I don't think they'd want that.
No. The interception question, I mean, his predecessor has, last year was a real outlier as far as interceptions. Hurts didn't throw a lot of interceptions until he was in a position where he was chucking the ball all the time. I would anticipate both those guys, that number will come down, but I think Hurts will probably throw more.
I think so too, because the last guy, he had 777, and last year it was an outlier.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Hurts will be better than he was as far as protecting the ball next year. He has to be, but I do think, I mean, I just think his, you know, and having better receivers will help too, but he'll probably throw more.
This is from Dave W. Address your thoughts on the Chris Sims quarterback rankings. Our colleague Chris Sims is putting them as quarterback rankings. He's almost done. I don't want to ruin the top four, taking a look at the, I mean, he has 4 players left to name, and in no particular order, it's Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson. I think this question is getting to, he doesn't have Jalen Hurts on his top 40.
I saw that.
Yeah, he's not there. I think that's a bit much, and we like Chris, but we know how he feels about Jalen Hurts too. We've had him on the podcast to talk about it, so I don't think it's surprising. I think it's wrong. Like, I think Hurts is a top 40 quarterback in the NFL, certainly. So we'll see. But I like the Chris. We like the Chris does his own thing.
Why don't we take a look at the list once it's done?
Okay.
What order do you think he'll have those 4 guys? He has Brady really low. He has Brady at like 10.
He had Brady at 10. I don't want to, I know the order, so I don't want
to. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You take a guess.
I think he'll go. No credit. I think he'll put Rodgers ahead of Mahomes. I think he'll go Rodgers, Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen.
Okay. I'll let you know later.
Okay. And I think that'll be out on Monday. I think he's going to finish it.
Yeah. Coming out soon.
Yeah.
And look, you might not agree with him, but he puts his thought behind it, and he explains everything he does and why they're in the position they are. So
you
can disagree with it, but at least he backs it up.
Yes.
Michael Vigoda, how do you think our D-line will play in the new system as compared to the wide 9? That's a good question. And it's something we talked to Tracy Rocker about, the new defensive line coach, last week. I think there is going to be a little difference. They're still going to attack, though. And, you know, the new coaches can't come in here and say, we're going to play to our strengths and then look at a line with Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Javon Hargrave, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, and say, no, we're not attacking anymore. I mean, that's not what they're going to do. They're going to let these guys get after the quarterback.
Yeah. You are talking about the most talented position group on the team. And I think part of Tracy Rocker's job as the new D-line coach is to not, you know, don't fix what's not broke. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that changes. I mean, that's, you don't want to mess with that group. Not that I mean, there's certainly some of those. I mean, Derek Barnett has underachieved, I think, as a pro. But as a group, I mean, there's just so much talent there. But maybe he can get them to the next level as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I think Fletcher could play in any defense. You know, a guy like that, BG. You know, to me, his big challenge is getting Sweat and Barnett to the next level. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, we have two more. Jamel Harris, how many touchdowns and wins will Jalen Hurts need to secure the starting spot beyond this season? I'll take a crack at it. I don't think there are numbers. I don't think there's like a, oh, he threw enough touchdowns, he's the quarterback, or there's enough wins. I think it's going to be kind of more of a feel thing. I think it matters how he starts and how he finishes.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, they could go 7-10 and you look at him like, wow, this guy was really, really good. Or they could go 10-7 through defense and running the ball and say, well, they went 10-7, but I just hate saying 10-7. I hate it. But he didn't really, you know, he was average. So yeah, it's hard to really quantify that. Again, I think it'll just be, we'll know. I just think after 17 games, if he plays them all, we'll know. But yeah, if he throws 25 touchdowns and wins 8 or 9 games, you would think he would have done enough to keep the job.
Yeah.
Unless I'll say they
really fall in love with a guy.
I'm sorry?
Unless they really fall in love with another guy.
Which is certainly possible.
Certainly possible. Last one from Armand Vanor. Armand, that's a great name. Armand Vanor.
Armand Gilliam. Another all-time great top 5 sixer.
Oh, okay. Armand Vanor. Did Dave shed tears during The Sound of Music?
Hills are alive, Dave. The hills are alive.
I've watched The Sound of Music.
Really? Were you forced to? Like,
I might have watched it in school, I think. It's okay. My mom likes The Sound of Music. My mom's a big musical fan, so if she were to listen to this podcast, and she won't, she would know that she would not be happy with me.
Yeah, I don't know. She's got to be wondering where she went wrong as a parent.
Yeah.
I've met people that aren't really interested in musicals, but I've never met anyone before who actively dislikes musicals as much as you. But I respect that. I respect a good dose of dislike is fine with me. There's certainly things I feel the same way about.
Okay. We got anything else before we wrap this up?
No, we're definitely not talking about that other team, right?
No, no way.
All right.
No way, no how. All right. If you like the podcast, do the stuff that you know how to do. Rate, subscribe, like, click the stuff.
We'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Let's do it again. We didn't even get to all of these, so we have a few here.
I noticed you didn't ask me the Gaslight Anthem question.
Oh, you know what? I skipped it because it was in the middle of a musical block. Do you want to answer that one real quick?
Well, somebody just asked my favorite Gaslight Anthem album, do you like music at all? Like,
yes.
Do you like...
I have a soul. I like music. Yeah. You like music?
Yeah.
Gaslight. What kind of question is that?
I was getting my hair cut and a couple months ago, and you know, for some reason, hair salons insist on like just blasting dance pop. Like, you can't get your hair cut even in the middle of a weekday when like everyone in there is like 70 years old, and they'll just be blasting like, you know, like Shawn Mendes and like just all that crap. And I said to the girl, I said, can you like turn this down or something? And she goes, oh, you don't like music? I said, well, no, I do like music. That's why I want you to turn it down. But Gaslight Anthem is a great band from New Jersey. And Brian Fallon is the singer and songwriter and main guy. They had an album out in probably 2010 called 59 Sound. It's tremendous. And they've got a few really good records, but that, to me, that one's my favorite. But his solo albums are really good as well. Painkillers, great record. He played at a little record store. He did an in-store at Main Street Music in Manayunk. I was lucky enough to get to. And I'm a big fan. You probably like them. I think you gave him a chance. Gaslight.
I actually listened to some last night. I did like it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Because of this question?
Yeah.
And then you didn't even ask the question.
Well, it was in a block of musicals, so I took a left turn and got away from them.
Okay.
I can't believe you asked me, do you like music? We've been to concerts together.
We did. We went to see Joseph Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw something else. I mean, in Pittsburgh, we saw...
Oh, yeah. We saw Broken Beak and Chris Farron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Farron's huge now, by the way.
Is he? That's good.
Yeah. There was like six people when he played.
Yeah.
And he's actually headlining Union Transfer in the fall with Slaughter Beach Dog playing, which is Jake from Modern Baseball. Yeah.
All right. That's it. We'll talk to you guys soon.